Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Casual Friday here in the office. I got to hop on a flight in about 2 hours, so you'll have to excuse the t-shirt, but it reminds everyone to go to rebelcapitalistlive.com, get your tickets for the next Rebel Capitalist Live show in Miami. To start off today's video, I want to give a huge shout out and thanks to my great friend, Chris Irons of the QTR podcast. He just interviewed Dr. Ron Paul. In the first 3 or 4 minutes of the podcast, they were talking about Rebel Capitalist Live, how great it was. So I sincerely appreciate him doing that, and I appreciate the kind words. So Chris, if you're listening, thank you very much, my friend. Okay, let's dive into today's news. I'm going to be very careful with this one, guys, and you'll see why as soon as we get into the title. So this is on Joe Rogan, and most of you saw the podcast he did with a specific doctor of note, who I think you guys know. And so now 270 health experts. You'll notice they're saying health experts now, Josh. You notice that? Remember yesterday when we saw this story pop up in the news, it wasn't health experts. It was doctors, right? Now health experts. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But they say Joe Rogan's misinformation is a sociological issue of devastating proportions. Okay. So I'm going to tap dance around this one, but basically Rogan came out with this podcast. It was wildly popular with this specific doctor who went over some concerns he had. And now all of a sudden these doctors are saying that those concerns are misinformation or an example of misinformation. And as a result, in an open letter to Spotify, let's highlight it. Now it's science and health professionals. Oh, okay. Said the podcast was broadcasting what we said earlier, particularly regarding the Cervasa sickness. Okay, so now they're even kind of getting off into broad topics because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. The letter then asked Spotify to take action against mass information events on its platform. And then CNBC has to kind of cover up their tracks and say, but just before you guys jump to any conclusions, all you crazies out there that think that this is censorship or a move towards authoritarianism, notably the 270 science and health professionals didn't recommend any specific actions. So you can't say this is censorship, guys. You can't say that they're demanding that Joe Rogan be deplatformed, or you can't say that they're trying to ban freedom of speech. They're just saying that Spotify has to take action. This is the crazy doublespeak that they do constantly. This is why so many Americans don't trust them. They don't trust the mainstream media, and they don't trust whomever the mainstream media calls a quote-unquote experts. See, in their minds, the central planners, the politicians, the media, they think that if they claim this person is an expert, then that's going to hold a lot of weight with the average Joe and Jane. And this is because they're so ignorant to how the average American actually views them. It's like they're living in this bubble, this fantasy world, where they think people actually respect what they say because they're the news, just like certain people are the science. But what they don't understand is that probably 80% of Americans think that they're as crooked as a scenic railway. They think that they're just complete buffoons, to the point where I would argue, for not maybe 80%, but I would say, 30, 40% of Americans, that if they say XYZ person is an quote-unquote expert, that 40% of Americans will assume the exact opposite. I am one of them, and I'm sure a lot of you on this live stream are as well. Why is that? Is that just because I'm biased and I've been brainwashed by the alt-right, or I'm just inconsiderate of other people, or I'm just too selfish, or I've just been a product of maybe social media manipulation, like we talked about yesterday? Or maybe it's Russia. Maybe Putin and China have brainwashed all of us to believe that freedom and liberty are actually good things. And it's all Putin's fault. And we're just falling prey to the puppeteer that is Vladimir Putin. You know, this is kind of their the way that they look at things, right? But from my standpoint, I think from most of your standpoint, you come to these conclusions just doing an objective analysis. And I think further proof of this is if you go back and look at my videos regarding the survey sickness, go back. And obviously, I didn't get everything right. But I was saying at the end of January 2020, hey, this is a really big deal, mainstream. And what was the mainstream media doing back then? They're calling people like me a tinfoil hatter. They're calling people like Eric Townsend, like Jim Bianco, like Dr. Chris Martinson, like Chris Irons from QTR. They're calling us all a tinfoil hatter. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're just fear-mongering. Now, then sure enough, 5 months later, then those people that were fear-mongering before, now all of a sudden we see this authoritarianism that's being perpetuated throughout the entire globe by these politicians and the global elite and the people that are in charge of these institutions. And we're like, whoa, 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 time out here, time out. This is, yes, we have a problem. This is an issue, the cervasa sickness. We waved the red flag on this a long time before you guys even know what it was when you were making fun of us. But now you've taken it way, way, way too far. And now we need to dial it back in here. We need to use some common sense and we need to be objective. So it's not like I was always on the side of the cervasa sickness being, you know, the flu or something like that. And I'm still not on that side. The cervasa sickness is not the flu. Now, the new scariant might be extremely mild. You need to talk to your own doctor and come to that conclusion using your own critical thinking skills. But my point is when the mainstream media and all these central planners were at zero, I was at 5, along with Martinson, a lot of other people. And then when they went up to 100, well, I stayed at 5. I've been there the whole time. And even when I was at a 5 and they were at a 0, if you guys recall, and I specifically did interviews with Chris, to bring him up again on QTR, because back then, if you guys remember, it was very difficult to figure out what to do because you just had no data. You didn't know if this was, I mean, who knows what it was. I mean, was it airborne Ebola? Or was it, I mean, you just didn't know. But I remember back then, I had a lot of these internal conversations with myself, and I came to the conclusion that regardless of how bad it is or it will be, that the government needs to stay out of it, that the government needs to give individuals as much data as they possibly can, be humble, tell people if they don't know something, and then tell people what they do know, and be objective and encourage debate, but at the end of the day, let people decide what they want to do. If they want to stay in their house, let them. If they want to go outside, let them. It has to be an individual choice. And I'm still preaching that message today. So my point here is that, these people are the ones that have changed their position. Ironically, you know, it's most of the people in the space that were waving the red flag back in January 2020, we pretty much have not changed our position. It's these people that have gone back and forth and back and forth. In fact, I talked yesterday about that Netflix special or documentary, The Social Dilemma. And I noticed that one of the things they used as an example of misinformation and how social media exacerbates fake news was revolved around the medicines and the cervasa sickness. And I thought, oh, isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? Why did they use that as an example? Why didn't they go back to January 2020 and highlight all the people that were getting it right, where the mainstream media and the general consensus was calling us fake news? Why don't they highlight that, right? So they're very, very selective, as you guys already know. But the main point here is that they are inferring, I think explicitly, they're trying to pretend that it's implicit, but they're wanting to basically ban and censor Joe Rogan as a result of what he's doing. So, and again, let's think this through here from another standpoint. Let's assume there's someone, because they're saying that these ideas are dangerous. That's really the thrust of their argument. And these arguments are just so dangerous that we cannot allow them to be heard by other people, as if other people are just so dumb right? That they can't make their own decision. And again, that's the worldview of the central planner. And to take it a step further, that's the worldview of someone who believes in eugenics, is that there's just a small group of people that are intellectually superior. They're the enlightened. They're the chosen few. And they need to make decisions for everyone else because everyone else is just too dumb to make their own decisions. You see that if your worldview consisted of you thinking that just your inner circle was smart and everyone else is dumb, it would make sense that you would have these views, that we should censor, that we should, because people are just too dumb to make their own decisions. And if we allow someone like Rogan to go out there and talk about things that might be contrary to the general consensus, then that's dangerous. And again, why is it dangerous? Because people are too stupid to make their own decisions. This is the general theme with all of these central planners. It's this mindset that you have to understand to try to predict the probabilities of what they may do, or maybe predict the probabilities of them achieving their explicitly stated objectives for things like 2030. And I'll get into this here in a moment here. All three theories. Okay, so let's go over his theories. On the episode, Malone told host Rogan that there recently had been an And then he said that leaders are using free-floating anxiety to hypnotize the public. I don't know that he said leaders are doing that. He said that that may be occurring. And again, why are they coming down on Malone? Because this isn't really Malone's idea. This is Matisse Desmet, I think his name is. And he was interviewed by Weinstein. He was interviewed by Martinson. And Malone only talked about it for maybe, like 3 minutes of the 2.5-3 hour interview. So why aren't they going back and looking at the hour-long or hour-and-a-half-long conversation that Weinstein had with Matisse Desmet, or that Martinson had? You see, that in and of itself doesn't make a lot of sense. But then they say all three theories were quickly identified as false, as reported by AP News. So, and PolitiFact. So the AP News and the main, so what they're doing here is they're saying, okay, well, completely ignore anything they said on Rogan because, I mean, it's been discredited by the mainstream media. But how many times has the mainstream media gotten it wrong? I mean, we don't even have to go back 10 years, but just over the last 2 years, they're wrong far more than they're right, even as illustrated by their own stories. And what I mean by that is goes right back to what we were saying in January 2022. They were wrong there. You can look at all their stories, just Google it. And then 3 or 4 months later, now all of a sudden those stories contradict the stories they came out with back in January. And then we fast forward another 3 or 4 months. Those stories contradict the stories that they wrote themselves, the people that are the news or that are the science. And then every 3 or 4 months, they continue to contradict themselves. They're always wrong, even as measured by their own stories, for heaven's sakes. So, but then they somehow say, well, you should trust us, and anyone that we say is wrong, you should completely ignore, to the extent that we should censor them because their ideas are just too dangerous for you to hear. Because you're so dumb and stupid that you'll just be brainwashed by anything. But I'm so smart that I'm never going to be brainwashed by that. You see, this is their view. But I want to go back to what I was saying earlier. Let's just assume that there was someone that we thought had incredibly dangerous ideas. Let's say that there's, well, Klaus, as an example. He's the poster child. Would I ever say that Klaus should be censored? Absolutely not. And in fact, quite the opposite. I want Klaus to get his ideas out there even more, because then everyone can see how insane these ideas are. I don't want them to hide in the shadows to where no one can refute them, or that no one can have an open debate regarding his ideas, because then if his ideas only exist in the shadows, that's when you do have to worry about it, because the people that will be introduced to those ideas, they won't have a counter narrative to that. It'll be like watching a court case and only hearing the plaintiff, because those ideas are going to exist. And if we try to censor, if we try to ban, if we try to deplatform the Klauses of the world, well, they're still going to get their message out some way. It's still going to get out. But then it's really going to, what's the word I'm looking for? It's going to create a group of individuals that just don't have any pushback. There's no objective debate to where they can sit there and say, okay, I've got Klaus on one hand. It's going to, I think, radicalize. Maybe that's the appropriate word that I'm trying to think through here. But people become far more radical. Why? Because they just see Klaus's view and they don't have any other view, because his view isn't out in the sunlight to where other people can comment and other people can object to it and other people can have an open debate about it. And if we are truly being honest about the quote unquote science and whatnot, we would encourage debate. Why on earth are we not having the foremost or two or three of them on this side, let's just say of the medicines, and then have two or three other guys on this side? And listen, if these guys are so evil, if they're so stupid, if they're so wrong, if their ideas are so antithetical to the quote-unquote science, then these guys should be able to destroy them in a debate. And if the whole world sees this group destroy this group, well, there you go. Well, then that's going to give this group a lot more pull. That's going to give their ideas that much larger of a platform, and it's going to make their ideas far more, not just clear, but it's going to give their ideas more validity. That's what I'm really trying to say here. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. If you truly were concerned about ideas that they were quote unquote dangerous, you would be doing the opposite of that. You would want these ideas out in the open as much as possible, so all the people who you trust could poke holes in them and show, hey, this is where they are wrong. And ideally, taking it a step further, you'd get them all on Rogan. Like, do you honestly think Rogan would be opposed to that? Where if you had maybe this doctor in particular, and maybe another doctor that Rogan had talked to, what, 2-3 weeks ago, get them on one side, and then get maybe CNN's favorite experts, or maybe the person who authored this. Request or demand to Spotify to take them down because of misinformation, get them in there. Get these two individuals, both have a respectful debate, and Joe Rogan can moderate, or anybody for heaven's sakes, and just say, listen, you know, present your side, just Oxford debate style, right? I mean, listen, when I was growing up, this is how you flushed out ideas. This is how the universities did it. Just when you get done watching this video, just go in the YouTube search and look up the series Free to Choose by Milton Friedman. And then just go watch a couple episodes, but you don't even have to watch the whole things. Just go to the last 15 minutes. What was it? What Friedman would do is he'd show this little 45-minute documentary, And then I believe it was the library at the University of Chicago. They would have like a 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 debate about the ideas that were presented in his documentary. And it would be Milton Friedman. It would be Thomas Sowell. It would be, I can't remember some of the, that gal that's very, very famous, a very famous socialist, I believe Piven Fox or something like that. I'm sure I'm getting her name wrong. But a lot of very famous people that really had the opposite views of Milton Friedman and Thomas Sowell. They'd get them on there and they would go back and forth and back and forth and try to hash out these ideas. That's what you do. And you do it in the public forum. So the fact that, and again, this is the simplest way to put it to your friend and family member, Fred's, as an example. Just ask them. Say, listen, these people are obviously trying to censor Rogan. No one can dispute that, no matter what your views are. Just then ask your friend, go back, study history. Go back as far as you want. Look at all of the groups that were in favor of censorship. Were they the good guys or the bad guys ever throughout history? They're always the bad guys. So somehow you think that the people that are in favor of censorship today are just magically the good guys? Josh, what's the most dangerous saying in all of investing? No, it's different this time, right? It's different this time. It's the exact same thing when you look at history and the people that have been in favor of censorship. What are you going to say that? Oh, well, it's different this time. It's different this time. No, it's not different this time. Guys, I would sincerely encourage you to go to Zero Hedge, and they have an article describing this. And I'd really encourage looking at this because we want to see the other people's view. I mean, I don't know why they're so opposed to debate. That's the real question. I mean, do we honestly think that the doctors that Rogan interviewed would not be anxious to have a debate? I mean, I don't know this for sure, obviously, but I would be willing to bet a lot of money that the people that are not willing to have the debate are not the people that Rogan's talking to. They're the people that want everyone censored and banned. But just so you guys can see the link, here's the Zero Hedge article. And then if you go, if you go down, you'll see that this is the a quote, or this is their core argument, according to Zero Hedge. And if you click this link, Unfounded Theory, then it goes to this Instagram deal where they try to dismantle things that were said on the show. And so, first of all, you can always tell it's a hit piece when they try to discredit the person talking. So that's what they try to do. And they try to really nitpick, this person didn't invent this. He was just part of this group that invented the technology. But he's not the inventor. He's not the inventor. I mean, come on, man. It's kind of, it's very sketchy to begin with. But I would strongly encourage you reading this to see maybe they do have some good arguments. And we should definitely be cognizant of what they're saying. But the majority of the arguments are kind of like this. So during that exchange on the podcast, they talked about lipid nanoparticles and this changing the menstrual cycle due to these lipid nanoparticles, which I obviously have no idea what these are. But what I do know is anecdotally, I have heard from countless women in my own family, on Twitter, that this is a thing. And again, I'm not a doctor here, YouTube, so just relax. I'm just only pointing out an anecdotal story that I have heard many, many times before. And this is something that we should at least pay attention to. So they go on and say that this is completely unfounded. There is absolutely no connection because of less than 1% of the rats in this study had this issue with the lipids. But then they go on to say that menstrual changes have been reported after both of the medicines. Any potential link is likely a result of an immune response to medicine rather than specific ingredient. And this is how they try to refute most of what was said, is the whole point is, hey, there might be some side effects here that we should look at. And they never say, oh, those side effects aren't there. They just say, oh, they're not there for the reasons that were stated. Well, okay. I would be very interested to have, and this is why we should have a debate, so that the person in question can say, oh, no, the reason I referenced this study, and I know that it's only 0.1%, but the reason why this is important is XYZ. I would like to hear both sides of the story there. And again, that's why we should have a debate. But the whole point here, and what most people are interested in, is are there certain reasons that I should, or are there other things that I should consider when I am doing a risk reward for myself and my family? And you'll notice, let's go through a couple more, that they really don't refute the concept, more just the intricate details. So here is an assertion: almost all side effects have to do with something called spike protein, and that the claims that because the spike protein are the same, the side effects are the same. He fails to mention that this has basically that it's very complex, including enable virus to infect us, potentially kill us. The spike protein made from the additional components, it can lead to. Okay, so what are you saying here? So and a lot of them are like this, but again, I'd strongly encourage going through this yourself. Does almost all side effects have to do with spike protein? And then they say Malone claims that spike protein of Cerveza and medicine are same, therefore the side effects are the same. He fails to mention that there are several of these proteins, including the spike protein that enabled the Cerveza sickness to reproduce, cause damage to, spike protein made from the medicine does not have additional components that lead to the type of damage effect. Okay. So maybe this is a good talking point. I'm trying to really see what's hard to do is to really understand what they're saying. It's like reading something from Klaus that it's just all a bunch of like a word salad that doesn't really have any meaning. And it's tough to really understand what their point is, but I think it's right here. The spike protein made from the medicine does not have additional components, but he never said that they did. That have additional components that can lead to the type of damage. Okay, so I think what they're saying is that basically that there are no additional components that would lead to the type of damage that you may have with the Cerveza sickness itself. And so my rebuttal here would be, okay, that you're nitpicking there, and that's good. That's good. I mean, we need to have quote-unquote experts really hash out these conversations. But it doesn't take away the fact that there could be potential side effects here. And at the end of the day, each individual person must do a risk reward. That's just really the bottom line here. And so I don't want to have this video go on forever. I really want you guys to do this homework yourself. That's why I'm bringing it up to you. But what I'd strongly encourage you to do when you're trying to think through your own risk-reward profile, and especially for your kids, for heaven's sakes, I mean, my goodness, that's where the rubber really meets the road. Just go to something like this. This is one I've used in the past. It's at, you guys can see the URL here, and it's this individual risk estimator, and it seems legit. I mean, I would cross-reference it with other ones just to make sure. Do your own homework, do your own research. I'm not a doctor, obviously, so calm down, YouTube. I'm just giving this for people so they can use it and use their own critical thinking skills, because contrary to your belief, YouTube, we are not a bunch of dumb idiots. My audience is not stupid. They can actually think for themselves and make better decisions than the central planners can. I can assure you of that. My little message to YouTube there. So then what you can do is you can just put in the demographics And then you can go down and you can see your risk profile. And then you can go right over to the CDC's website and you can look at what they themselves are saying are potential side effects. So you've got your risks, your reward, your cost, your benefits, and then you can make your own decisions. That's really the main point that I want to make with this video, above and beyond just giving you the news that the censors are really, really, really coming down on Rogan. And in my view, that means because he's over the target. Okay, guys, lastly, I want to remind everyone that this week, this next coming weekend, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. It's if you guys go to the website, defeatthemandatesdc.com. It's defeatthemandatesdc.com. We're expecting, well, I don't know, 50,000 people or so. And at, I think it's 11 o'clock on Sunday, January 23rd, we're going to meet at the Washington Memorial. And we are going to walk to the Washington Monument. We're going to walk to the Lincoln Memorial. I always get them kind of confused. Sorry about that. And then on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, we're going to have a lot of incredible speakers, such as my good buddy, Chris Martinson, Weinstein, many of the doctors that I could not mention their name in this in this video, and a lot of artists and a lot of really, really cool people that are standing up for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. So if you can make it, I'd love to see you there. If you're in the area, definitely come out. But at least go to the website and check out their About Us page, because their belief system they've put in writing and articulated is something that I think we can all stand behind. And it gives us that encouragement to know that we are not the only ones. We are the silent majority. And there's several of your fellow Americans out there that are taking action and showing that they value freedom more than they value safety and doing everything that they can to get us off the road to serfdom. But you are not alone in your beliefs, and you are going to be on the right side of history. As always, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.